Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Dr. V with Love Radio Show. Oh, my goodness, it's been a minute, and it's been a long minute. I've missed you. I know. I hope you miss me. We are excited tonight because this new season and new broadcast is being sponsored by the Unfailing Love Ministries, which I am the senior pastor. In fact, we have two of our leaders online with us tonight as well. We have Pastor Lonnie Williams is online with us. And we have
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, awesome. And we have Minister Gould. He's actually in the studio with us this evening. And we have our two special guests, which I will be introducing now. We have Helen from Virginia Beach, Tidewater, Norfolk area, down in there, that area. We have Latino A2J. Woo! Good evening, Latino.
How you doing, Dr. V?
I have to celebrate you, my friend, because you've been with me for a minute. Glory to God. And we also have Minister Richard Pickett with us tonight, a powerful, seasoned man of God who is one of A2J's mentors. And they're going to be tag-teaming with us tonight and in 2 weeks. Mark this on your calendar, October the 1st, Saturday at 6 p.m. They're going to be live, anointed, and appointed, and in charge of the service on Saturday at 6 p.m. at Unfailing Love Ministries. We are, if you don't know, a new location is in the RCC complex, 214, that's 214 Coworden Avenue in Richmond, Virginia. We're in the heart of the city, south of the river, and it's going on over there, but Jesus and his love. So we're excited. We invite you to join us to our 7 Saturday Sabbath services leading up to our 1 year anniversary. So we thank God for the host, the underwriter, the sponsor, however you want to call our guest, God to be with love tonight, Unfailing Love Ministries. Now, back to our guest. One of you awesome men of God could just open us up with prayers. We traditionally always do. We ask God to bless the broadcast, those that are participating and those that are listening in. Do I have a volunteer from all of this masculine energy on the line tonight?
Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, Latina, go for it. Nominate you. Gonna pray for us?
Can you hear me,
Dr. V? I'll pray if you like.
There you go. Yep, that'll work.
Great, well, Richard. I'm here, Latina. Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead and pray.
Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we honor you for your goodness and for your mercy and how you have shown favor to your people. We thank you that this is a new season for Dr. V and Unfailing Love Ministries. We know that you have great things in store for that ministry. And we just pray, Father, that they will be a light in a dark world, that they will bring others into the kingdom of God. Father, we know that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And, Father, we want our words to touch somebody's life in the name of Jesus. Let us say something tonight that will make a difference in someone's life. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they are. We know that your spirit moves, and we just are so grateful and so thankful for all the things that you are doing in our lives and the things that you are doing today in this world. Father, we just give you glory right now, and we honor you. We ask that you bless this radio broadcast and that there be many, many more that will come after this that will touch the hearts of men and women in this nation. Father, we just thank you right now, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister Redditor, for that prayer. Awesome prayer. Listen, when I thought about the broadcast a couple of weeks ago and wanted to, you know, let me just preface like this. When I'm not on air, and I love radio, been loving it for years, when I'm not on air, God is working with me and dealing with me in my heart. And when I come on air, I believe the Lord has something that he wants to say or use me to facilitate to be said to the body of Christ, to encourage the body of Christ. So I just don't get on the air just to, so you can hear my voice. You know, I think I have a great radio voice, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about lifting up the name of Jesus so his people might be strengthened in this season, in this time, in this generation that's there. So when I thought about what we would talk about tonight, our two guests came to mind immediately, Latino ATJ and Minister Richard came to Latino's mind, and so they're tag teaming tonight. But the subject matter is manning up. Men who worship strengthen the family. That's our resolve. We just know that. We know that. We believe that without a doubt. And when we talk tonight and talk about this particular subject, there may be somebody out there listening now or later, archive, that may be struggling with leadership, spiritual leadership in particular too, in their lives, in their homes, in their within their families and communities. And so we're believing God that they're going to hear something that will, that might encourage them and strengthen them. And so we ask you, if you're just listening now, please, woman of God, if your husband is in the other room watching the game, ask them to give you about 40 minutes and ask them to listen to this broadcast with you, because there are going to be other men on here tonight that's going to and say something to encourage his heart, or vice versa. You may want your wife to listen in so that she will better understand your role in the family as a relationship to the impact of you being a worshiper, a leader, a spiritual leader in your home, how that strengthens your family. And so these two men, I believe by the Spirit, they know the importance. I've seen their lives of setting the example for their families in developing a relationship with God through worship, and also to take their spiritual place in the family as God has said in his word to do so. So I'm going to just start out and just let Latino introduce himself, tell us a little bit about himself, and then he will pass the mic to Richard, and then we'll get into the content, and we'll invite, you know, Minister Gould and Pastor Lonnie also to have their two cents in as we flow, because they're both men of God, both spiritual leaders in their home as well. Amen. Latino.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about your relationship with the Lord.
It's a unique one, because the relationship hinders and hinges on me. And I said that correctly. It hinges and it hinders on me. I make it what it is. You've heard that saying, it is what it is. For men of God, it's never it is what it is. It is what you make it. So your relationship with God is what you make it, because God will give you all, but in everything, there is a sacrifice, and I don't want people to miss that. Being a man of God is a sacrifice because God wants to interfere in your life, because the life we live on this earth is contrary to God. I don't care how good you are or how productive you are in your family, you will fall short somewhere if you do not let God guide you, because there are some decisions that you're going to make that you think are good ones that are not. Everything we do costs us something. If you think the relationship with God is going to cost you nothing, I can tell you personally from my life, it has cost me things, things that I thought were valuable, but they ended up not being valuable in the long run. Because the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. The problem is that it never lasts.
Mm-hmm.
Your relationship with God gets better in time because you start understanding exactly what it is that hinders it. I'm not an old man, but I've been in Christ for a long period of time, and I understand what hinders my walk with him and what makes it happen, what makes it give him access to me to change things inside of me that may make me uncomfortable, but the reason they're making me uncomfortable is because the things that are uncomfortable are things that are of the world. Nothing that he puts in me that will benefit others hurts me. The things that hurt me is trying to push away the things that are against him. So all I can tell you about me is that when you meet me, you will know that I know God, not simply because of what I say. I've got a quote that I say is, my words may not make a difference. I pray my life does. And it has to for my family. Because if I don't run this race to honor God and the people around me, especially my children, my wife, my grandchildren, they see me as a godly man. If I falter, and it's not to say that we can't make mistakes because we make them, but we better make them in a decision of ignorance and not a decision of I'm doing this and I know it's wrong, because God, you will pay for it. So if I falter in my relationship with him, it affects them automatically, because then they say, if this man of God that I've grown up with, if this man of God that I'm married to, if this person that has told me that God can solve all the problems, if he falters knowingly and tries to hide it, I'll never make it, because he knows the word. He's been with God forever. And if he can't make it, and that God is so powerful it can't keep him, I'm never going to make it, because I'm faltered. My children see their need for God, but they have to see in me the ability to reach him. That it's not a plateau that only certain people can attain, because you never graduate in God to a level that sin does not tempt you. What happens is you get to a level in God where you understand what's happening and you see it before it happens, and you make the move to short-circuit it before it affects you and the family, because it costs you something to be a Christian. It costs you to go to work. It costs you your time from your family. It costs you time that you could be doing other things. It costs you on your body, mentally, physically, emotionally sometimes. And you're willing to pay that price for something that cannot really edify your family. It just sustains them. The money you make sustains your family. It doesn't do anything to improve them through eternity. The relationship you have with God is something that will improve them throughout eternity, because when they leave your home, they will have something that will continue to look out for them and that they can reach to, that will solidify them and make them understand that this is not home. And I know who's in control of where my home really is and where I am going. And, of course, you can tell right off the bat that I love to talk. So I'm going to stop there, or else I'll keep talking straight through. You got more wisdom than me behind me and in front of me. So I'm going to let them speak.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a quick question before we turn it over to Richard to share some. You said that your children have seen you, in God all of their lives. And so, so were you saved before you got married, or did you get saved after you got married? Okay.
I got married after
your salvation experience.
And I got saved when my daughter, my oldest daughter, was already a teenager, which was bad because she got to see the negative side of me. And she got to see the transformation, but because I fed her the desire and the fruits of the world, that's what she had an appetite for. So when I became saved, she didn't want that. And this is why it's so important, and I'm going to cut this short. This is why it's so important for our children, for you to raise them in church, because whatever you put in them first has it. And then everything else that comes in has to fight against what you've already put in there. That's why Moses was able to say, I don't care what's in Egypt. I'll die with my people, because his mother put that in him when he was young. If we put the wrong thing in our children at the beginning, that thing will fight to keep everything else out. And if it's not God, it has an upper hand, because they have an appetite for things that are not of God. So when God comes, they're like, that tastes terrible. I don't want that. I want what I usually get. And that's why it's harder. It was harder for my daughter, and it still is, because she knows that she has to make a choice, but she's fighting the desires of her flesh. And the desires of your flesh, they war against the fruits of the Spirit. They cannot operate together. One will cancel the other one out, because you got lust and lasciviousness, and you've got gossiping, and you've got all these things that are envy, that are the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You can't have lust and love. One will cancel the other out. You can't have envy and joy. You can't have anger and peace. It doesn't come to you. One will cancel. So if you have anger in you already, peace is going to have a hard way to go to get it out. Because somewhere in there, you're holding on to that anger because you think, that makes me feel a certain way. And you never let go so you can see what peace feels like, because then you'll know what really feels good, but you're too afraid. So I got saved after I was married, when my daughter was older, and then my other daughter came. I have two children. I have more children than that, and not by previous marriage, by God. Children that I've taught in Bible studies in my house that have automatically attached me as their father because they want something more. And so I've got kids in Kentucky. I got one in New Jersey. I have another one in New York. I've got them scattered around. I got two or three here that are male. That's one thing, that all the children that God has blessed me with outside of my marriage through his blood are all males. All the children that I have from my wife are females, and that in itself, God knew I needed a balance, so he sent these boys to try to help this guy out. But that's how I got to God a very, we don't have the time, but I guess that is the story for another time of how I actually came to know Christ, because it was a man by the name of Wayne Golden on a hotline in Holiday Inn, and that's how I got to God.
Wow, we want to hear that story for sure. Okay, one last question before we turn over to Richard. After you got saved, could you, first of all, how long did it take your family to get adjusted to the new spiritual strength in that house?
I got saved, and like most people that get saved, you have a lot of zeal and no wisdom. Because when you first get saved, you get to see, but you don't understand that you need to get the wisdom so that you can deliver what you just got with a way that they want it too. I came into my house and said, we ain't watching television no more. We ain't listening to music no more. We ain't doing this, that, and the other. And I'm married to a Hispanic woman, and that just didn't fly. When I walked through the door, she said, whatever you got looks good on you, but these rules you're putting on here, that ain't working for me. So through the course of she stayed with me for about, I'd say, 5 years. But after that, we actually separated because she couldn't take the Christianity in me. And it's funny because when I prayed to God about it and said, she's got a problem, you need to solve her, she's just rebellious, And he impressed upon my heart, there's two problems here, Nelson, and you're the main one.
Mm.
You're the problem. And I'm like, well, how am I the problem? He said, the way you represent me, nobody would want me. Because you're not doing it in love. You're doing it through law. You're gonna crack the law down here. You're not giving them a choice. I didn't do that to you, Nelson. I gave you a choice. Do you want me or not? You're telling them they're going to have to accept me. And that's not the way I operate. So you want to take away their free will, but I never took yours away. I gave you a choice. So my wife had about 5 years of that, and we separated for about a year and a half. And, again, that's another story of how that came about for us to finally get back together. We've been together for going on 38 years with a year and a half separation.
Awesome.
But the year and a half wasn't for God to work on her so as much as it was for him to work on me. And get me, you know, not to where I accepted everything she did when we finally got back, but the fact that I understood that I didn't come to him the minute he called me. He had been calling me since I was a kid. I came to him when I was 30-something years old, and he's telling me, you want them to come right instant. You didn't. So it was hard in my house because...
You know what's so interesting about how you're sharing this is you are actually saying, I had a relationship with God to where he was speaking to my heart and correcting me.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people say, well, how do you hear God? You know, how do you know that that's God telling you this or that? And here you're talking just as if God was talking to you like we're having a conversation right now, which meant that, you know, you begin to develop a relationship with God to where you hear him, you know, and God certainly hears you. He knows what you're doing and how you're doing it. Right.
And it's not an audible voice that I hear. It's because I used to get into the scripture. And so the scripture would come back to me, and I'd have the conversation, and God would bring the word up, and I'm like, yeah, but that's contrary to what I'm doing. And he said, well, one of them is wrong. Which one do you think it is? Because it's not the word that's wrong. So if you're having a problem with what it's saying, it's because you're doing something that's not like the word I'm giving you. And that forced me to change it. I mean, I've had some conversations with God, and not a voice. I don't hear him, but I know it's not me. Because there's some things he tells me I'm not that intelligent to figure out. I don't have the brains for that. He drops it in me and then tells me, now think about that. You know, I've had discussions with God that he gives me answers when I talk to Richard. And Richard don't even know what I was talking to God about because I don't tell him. And then he'll tell me something, and I'm like, man. Because Richard will do – what he does is he treats me like Nathan treated David. He'll tell me the story. So I'm all in because that person is all jacked up. And then he said, yeah, no, that's not like you. And I'm like, oh, okay. I see it now.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's put a pin right there and why don't you introduce Richard on and let Richard do the same thing that you just did. But yeah, by the way, so you won't feel like a rush, we have another hour and 6 minutes. So we got time to hear your story. So when you go into something, don't feel like you're taking up too much time. We want to use every minute to get this message out because I think if any other season in our lives, it's very important this season that we get men to share the message that men strengthen their families if they become worshipers. And I want to talk for a few minutes. I'll kind of bridge this with Richard because I do know that he is your mentor and a sage in your life. I want to talk about how – I'm just going to throw this out here, Richard, for you, and you can grab it, hold to it after you introduce yourself. Is that a lot of times people just – contain, I believe, this is my theory, this is my commentary, I'm throwing it out there, that worship is just what you do when you get to church on Sunday or Saturday, whenever you go to church, and you're lifting up songs and praise, and you're praying or what have you, that is just worship. But I propose that worship is not just an act, but a lifestyle. In other words, you with your life and your actions, you reverence the Lord. You know, he said in his word that he has made us to be a praise to him, for him.
Right.
So want to talk about, broaden the definition of what it means to be a worshiper. The Bible says that we should worship him in spirit and in truth. And so with that, Latino, introduce Richard to us.
This is a guy that I met him in a class that we were having together. It was a teacher's class, like to equip us. It was a teacher's equipping class. And that's the first time we met each other. And we kind of resonated with each other when we talked. We kind of had the same spirit. And that really helped me because I'm a loner by my upbringing. And I don't let people get too close to me because a lot of people are fake, and I can't deal with that. I'm a black and white guy. I mean, if God says it, that's it. You can color it any color you want, but that's what he says, and you have to live that way. And if you want to live halfway, I can't deal with that because I can't let that stay on me. I can't become that. I'm trying to grow, so I want to grow with strength. So me and Richard we just had a relationship that really started off cemented in Christ, and just has grown. I've got four or five men in my life that really make me who I am. I've had women that are in my life too, that when I was growing up, that made me who I am at that time. But the guys that have solidified my relationship with Christ and have made me understand that there are some things inside me that I think are too fiery, but they've helped me to not turn it off because that's what God gave me, but to know when to use it. And Richard is one of those men. He's always been around me. Every time I've had a problem or I've had a decision to make, he's just been there. I can call him for anything, and he will show up. And if he doesn't show up, he will call me and tell me how you doing, or call me afterward, how did it go. He's just, and the reason I need men like that around me, especially Richard, is because when I have events and things, I can't see everything, and they come in with the heart to look out for me, to make sure the things that I don't see don't hurt me, that I become who I'm supposed to be for God. There's not a jealous bone in either one of these men that I have in my life. They don't care about who gets the credit. They just want whatever God got in you, they want to see it in its full force. And sometimes they have to tell me things because sometimes my wife, she'll tell me, you got to go talk to Richard about that because I can't reach you. You think you're right. You better go talk to Richard there. Because sometimes I'm going to make decisions that she'll ask me, did you talk to Richard or did you talk to Pastor Todd? Did you talk to your boys? Because I don't see that. And if you talk to them, I don't think they're going to see it either. And it's always true to form. I always tell them, and they're like, yeah, no, you don't want to do that. That's not going to come off the way you think it is. My pastor is that way too, but Richard is a center, I mean an anchor for me, because I can tell him anything, and he never talks to me like I've disappointed him. It's always like, okay, then we need to learn from this. We have some conversations. I tell him all the time, we need to record these things because people need to hear some of this stuff that comes out of him. So this is who he is. He couldn't be any more closer to me than if my mother birthed him, because we're just that knitted together. There's no darkness in anything that he ever does for me. Nothing. He will sacrifice himself for me. And that's something you don't find anymore. Everybody's looking for their own thing. Rich is always looking to better somebody else. And so that's who he is in a nutshell. He's a man that you can trust and a man that looks out for the gift that's in you. He sees the gift and he tells you how you're going to mess it up. And I pray, I am so thankful to God for the five men that he has put in my life, because each one of them I lean on to stay straight. I tell my pastor all the time, make sure you stay strong for me, because I need you to be who you are. And, you know, I've had this relationship with all of them, but with Richard, it's different because he's different.
Awesome. Well, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors is much safety. I am so glad. All of us need that in our lives, those kind of relationships. We have this thing that we say, you know, I've been in women's ministry for over 30 years, and every Mary needs an Elizabeth, and every David needs a Nathan or a Jonathan or what have you. And so I'm so glad you have Richard. And so, Richard, tell us where you are to be that to Latino.
Well, I've been in the ministry for over 25 years now. Mm-hmm. Been married for 31 of those years. Actually, I was sitting in a club in Orlando, Florida, and the Lord came in there and spoke to me. He asked me, and I was not with my wife. I was out with some friends. I felt, like I had, like the walls were kind of closing in. I was newly married, and I just kind of wanted to get out and kind of have some fun. And we had just had our first child, my son, and I was in the club, and a voice spoke to me and asked me, why was I sitting in the dark? And I looked around, and I asked my friend, a couple friends I had with me, I said, did you hear anything? They said, no. And then he said to me, look at the poison that they're serving. And the waitresses was putting drinks on the table. And then I hear the voice that says to me, do you know that when they turn the lights on, everyone has to leave? And he said, I represent the light.
Mm.
And I went outside. I told my friend, I called him D. I said, D, I need to step outside to get some air. And he says, you all right? I said, yeah, I just need some air. So we go out, and, I'm standing out there in front of the club. And he said, you okay? And I said, no. I said, I don't want to spoil your night. I said, but I'm in there thinking about Jesus. And he says, whoa. He said, Jesus, man? I said, yeah. I said, I know. He said, man, God is chasing you. I said, I know. I said, and I'm about to be caught. And that was the beginning of me becoming familiar with the voice of God. And this is what I would say to husbands, to fathers. You need to become familiar with the voice of God.
Amen.
It will never tell you anything wrong. It will always seem to challenge or test you in ways that will stretch you. And I tell men, I say, you're only as strong as your comfort level.
Mm.
The three Hebrew boys, they revealed how strong they were. Daniel, when placed in the lion's den, he revealed how strong he was. You're only as strong as your comfort level. And God, he always deals with us, not only spiritually, but he reveals the future to us. He will show you things that have yet to become to see if you will believe it.
Mm.
Your faith will bring reality into existence. He said, it's not that I answer prayers. He said, Richard, I answer faith. He said, prayer is just your request. He said, faith is your answer.
Mm.
About 5 years ago, I went into a storm. And this was after the Lord spoke to me. He says, Richard, he says, you're going to like what I do with your life.
Mm.
Now, that's shouting time. That's dancing time.
I like that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't long after that that I went into a terrible storm. I was being challenged. I was being tested. It seemed like I just did not know whether I was coming or going. And I remember telling the Lord, I thought that you told me that I was going to like what you do with my life. And then he began to share with me about the storm that the disciples were in. He said, while I sleep in the storm, he said, you panicking one.
All right.
Mm-hmm. He said that the disciples, they were waking me up, not because they knew I could speak to the storm. They were waking me up so that I could save my life like them.
Mm.
He said, when they woke me up, he says, I speak to the storm. He said, what was their reply? And I said, Lord, they said, who is this man that even the wind
the sea and the
obey?
Okay.
He said, when was the last time my children said anything like that about me?
Ooh.
Who is this man? Who is this man? So he said that if I would not have taken them into the storm, they would not have known that I could speak to it.
Jesus, yes.
He said, I can speak to the storm in your life. And he says, information, Richard, is free. He said, you can get information just about anywhere. He said, but revelation is going to cost you.
Mm.
I don't give revelation to everybody. So I had to trust him, and this is where he began to talk to me about the importance of faith. And this is what I would tell men and women today, especially leaders in our home. Jesus asked the question, and the disciples, Jesus didn't ask the question, first of all, because he didn't know the answer. He was asking the question so that you would find out what the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
And he says four words, and I tell this to men, and this is important. I said, have Jesus ever lied? They, no, he's never lied. I said, has he ever done anything that seems suspect or, you know, underhanded? They said, no. I said, so if he tell you to do something, I said, would you trust him to do it? I said, I'm not setting you up. I said, I'm serious. And they'd be like, well, yeah, if Jesus said to do it. I said, well, Jesus told us in Mark 11, he says, have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told us. I said, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. That's Proverbs 20, verse 7.
Amen.
A lot of problems that we're having today is that we're teaching our children to follow us to church, but we're not teaching them how to follow Christ.
Jesus, say that again.
We're teaching them how to follow us to church, but we're not teaching them how to follow Christ.
Mm-mm-mm.
There are three experiences that we all have in this life. The first experience that we have is called the valley experience. In this experience, we find ourselves in an unfamiliar place around unfamiliar people. We see this story told when we read about the prodigal son. I'm sure that he was compromising some of the things that he was taught as a young boy. But during this experience, it's something that you have to learn. And when you're in the valley, you have to choose your friends wisely.
Amen.
As a father, I'm speaking as a father, as the head of my house. And I'm talking to my family. I'm talking to my children. I'm talking to my nephew. I'm talking to my young cousins, people along that line. Everybody will have a valley experience where they will be in an unfamiliar place
mm-hmm.
around unfamiliar people. It happened to me when I joined the military. I was in an unfamiliar place around unfamiliar people. So I had to choose my friends wisely. I tell my children, even now, and they're grown, I say, show me your friends, and I will show you your future.
Mm.
So this is really about establishing relationships, which leads to good friendships. Nelson just got through talking about the good friend that we are with one another. I could say the same things about Nelson that he said about me. But in the valley, we were in an unfamiliar place around unfamiliar people. And this is where you have to choose your friends wisely. The second experience that everyone has is a wilderness experience. In this experience, you feel all alone, like it's you against the world. You going through one test, one challenge, one trial after another. God spoke to me about you, Dr. V, and said that you have been in a wilderness experience in your life.
Amen. For real.
You have had one test. You thought the people that was going to be there for you
mm-hmm.
was not there. And the ones that you thought that would not be there for you was the ones who were.
Amen. Amen.
See, in this experience, it's revealed when Jesus was led into the wilderness and tempted by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
During this experience, you need to know who you are.
Mm-mm-mm.
Jesus could not be persuaded to do things outside of his character and the person that he truly was.
Mm-mm-mm.
In the wilderness, you will find out who you are
mm-hmm.
and what you're really made of.
Jesus,
are you
yeah.
going to fight or give up? That's the purpose of the wilderness experience. The third experience is called the mountaintop experience.
Mm.
During this experience, you're on top of the world. Everything seemed to be going your way. Your career, you're getting things you've always dreamed of. People want to get to know you. They want to hang out with you, be your friend. You just can't see no end to your own success. You on the mountaintop. During this experience, you must learn to have an eternal perspective in life.
Jesus, yes.
All that we own is temporal. You came in this world with nothing, and surely you can take nothing out when you leave. There have been many people who have lost it all.
Mm-hmm.
An eternal perspective will put God at the forefront, not on the back end. In Mark 8:36 and verse 37, it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? An eternal perspective will reveal to us that success without God is failure.
Amen.
Jesus is telling us, have faith in God. See, every father has been someone's son, but
mm-hmm.
every son has not been someone's father. We have to learn how to stand and pray And we have to bring our home, I like to call it bringing our home under Jewish kingdom, under kingdom jurisdiction. That's what I call it. Your ministry, Dr. V, needs to be brought under kingdom jurisdiction. That
Amen.
Means the purpose of that ministry is going to be used however God deems necessary.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Our homes have to be the same way. This is our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It says that if we don't take care of our homes, then how are we to take care of the things of God?
That's it.
And it says a man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. So these things must be of some concern to God. Why isn't it a concern to us? The world is moving much faster than the church is growing. There are many churches, Dr. V, that are dying on the vine. So for you to have a first year anniversary says a lot about the integrity of that ministry, and it tells a lot about your desire to do what God is asking you to do in spite of. So yes, we're going to have these experiences in our life, the valley experience, the wilderness experience. We're going to have the mountaintop experience. But until we learn how to surrender, we will not know what it's truly like to be victorious.
Amen. Wow. When
I just said enough.
No, you said a lot. And I'm taking notes. I want you to know that. That's fair. You were right spot on when you said I've had a wilderness experience. And exactly what that experience was for, that is exactly what I went through. I had to know who I was, and I had to fight the spirit that came to me often and says, give up. I'm so excited about that because that was during the time that I met Latino while I was out in the wilderness, out in Arizona, and he strengthened me through his faith and his walk with the Lord as we did our broadcast week after week and just delved into relationships and what God would prefer and just, you know, just the teaching, just the encouragement. He really, I tell him all the time, you don't know what you did for me by being a man of integrity and walking alongside me as God was healing me out there in the desert, in my wilderness experience. And I'll be forever grateful for him for that. But, you know, he presented Jesus on every hand, no matter what we were talking about. And so I'm grateful for that. When I think about the other two men that are on the line, both of them are fathers and grandfathers and have been husbands and our husbands is there. I want them to chime in as well and have some comments. I see Pastor Lonnie is still on the line. Pastor Lonnie?
Yes.
Okay. Could you chime in and have any comment on what you heard these two powerful men of God say tonight?
Well, there's not much I can say about what them brothers are saying. They hit everything right on the head. Example is the key thing for your children, your grandchildren, your nephews. Your example of what you said, your walk. It's all about your walk. You can talk all you want to talk, but they're watching your walk. And that's the example that we have to set as Christian leaders, followers of Christ. And we got to show that we have that game with us. We have that stance. Those two brothers talked about, Richard talked about the different experiences, the mountaintops, the wilderness, and the valley. And, of course, you know, we've all been through them. We've been through them, and sometimes it feels like we're going through them all at the same time. So, you know, I thank God for that word this evening because it kind of eased up my day. I had a rough day, and I was down in the valley, and then I was in the wilderness. And I'm trying to tell you, my day was terrible today, and now I'm feeling a little bit higher up on the mountain with a little success. So I appreciate that word. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, the Lord said that we ought to encourage one another, and that iron sharpeneth iron and all of that. What I've heard from both men tonight and as well is, and I love it. If you didn't hear it, listen, audience, I'm just going to say that this is what was said in essence. So this is what they demonstrated to us, that they manned up first with their relationship with God. In other words, their own personal salvation was important. Yes, they had to grow and mature and learn how to disciple. They had to learn how to be discipled by the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and to disciple their families and that kind of thing. And so that what we have learned is, when we walk with God, He is, the word says, He will never leave us or forsake us. He is the God of the valley, the God of the wilderness, and the God of the mountaintop. And if we, like the saints of God used to sing all the time, we need to hold to His hands, God's unchanging hands, and build our hope on things eternal, you know. And so it is for that eternal relationship that a man and a woman have with God that's going to cause them to be able to endure the valley, the wilderness, and the mountaintop, and be that person that the Bible tells us very plainly that we ought to let our light so shine that men will see and glorify God. In other words, lights are not shining for us that we can be glorified, but for God to be glorified. In other words, somebody, you know what? I want to follow the God you are serving because I see Him in your life. I see Him strengthening you. You know, that you went through, you should have fainted. You should have taken yourself out. You should have, you know, that you went through with your wife, I would have never gone back to you. You went back and then things got better. I want to serve that kind of God. See, people need to see, and I believe in the world, us go through stuff, and God brings through stuff, you understand, for the testimony that's there. So it's not like our lives have been beds of roses, but we have gone through the storms, like you said earlier, and we have come through the storms. And God has, we had opportunity for God to speak peace to the storms in our lives that's there. And so when Brother Richard said, you know, one thing that we should start off with is have faith in God. And really, that's the evidence of us having that faith, is how we handle the storms of life. Amen. Even the daily ones. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. My husband is listening. I don't know if he want to have something to say. I'm going to turn his mic on. See if we can get an echo, honey.
Praise the Lord.
Honey, come to this mic. That way, turn your phone off. And so he won't get the echo. I don't want him to get the echo. He's in the same room with me. Go ahead.
I just want to comment. Thank God for allowing me to be here. I missed a lot of my wife's blog talk radio. I particularly was really touched by what Richard said, that, you know, I also different backgrounds and not know. I like the point where you say you have to choose your friends carefully, and I did that even before I got saved. You know, some people would just lead you the wrong way. Even in church, you got to watch some of the people, because not everyone is preaching the gospel. Some of them are going to change it, and we call it false teaching. And the Bible says you have to choose you today who you're going to serve. And the topic was man up, and I like what you said, that the man has to take care of their family, and it's not about bossing; it's about working together as a team. And I really like the idea that, you know, I haven't been saved like 25 years, but I just like reading the Bible. I read my Bible every day so I can strengthen myself. And Richard said that God speaks to us. And my wife was saying that, how do you know it's God? We know it's God. He speaks to us. And sometimes we don't want to hear what he's telling us. But he's telling us what to do because he loves us. And if he didn't love us, he wouldn't even care about us. He would just go head on and consume us right away. But he wants to give us an opportunity to get it right. And I just want to thank God that he gave me the opportunity. Amen.
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 Wow. I like that what Mr. Goose said, that God does that because he loves us. The Bible says he chases us, corrects. He does that because he loves us. You know, and so I think that in all that you have shared tonight, when God corrects us, he is not only correcting us for us, but he's correcting us so that he can use us to, you know, to be a blessing to others, to like it to the family. When Latina was talking about the year or so that he and his wife were separated, God dealt a lot with him so that he could go, when they got back together, he could be a better leader in his family because he was able to show grace and mercy and patience. And that adds up to loving deeper and more, so that God can get an opportunity then to do the work he does in our hearts. You know, that the world says, you know, you can draw a whole lot of bees with honey. The Bible tells us very clearly that what he loves is us, for us to have mercy and do justice and walk humbly before our God, so that he has a way of humbling us by working stuff out in us first before he uses us as an instrument, you know, to draw others. Because his drawing, he said, I drew them with cords and what? Bands of love. And love sometimes does not look like what we think it's supposed to look like. Our children tell us that quickly. If that's love, why don't you love it like that?
Just
set them down for a minute, you know, and squash some of their plans. You know, I remember one time my daughter wanted to go to a concert, you know, popular, you know, band and doing that time. And my husband and I said, no, she was about 14 or 15. She said, you can't go. He said, but you can trust me. He's not, we don't trust you. But the people, going back to what Richard said earlier, choose your friends wisely. People that she was going to be in company with were going to be unfamiliar people, you know, at a major concert, worldly concert, as it were. We don't know how their behaviors are going to impact her. And truly, as she was some kind of mad at us for not letting us go back there, she asked for much like in that direction, but we felt, we both agreed that this was not the thing for her to do. Well, lo and behold, she had a night of sulking, but the next morning, it was on the news, concert, three or four young people were injured and could have lost their lives because of the violence that was there. So she came to us and she said, Mom, Dad, but you got it. I didn't like it, but I understand that you were loving me and to protect me. And that was the first and the last time I ever asked to go to a concert that promoted the world. And then, you know, I can probably say this is an awesome woman on God, and God has used her to bless so many other people out of darkness into the light. And she uses that testimony a lot to say, accept her, enough to say no. You know,
Dr.
that
V,
kind of thing. So, go ahead.
Dr. V, this is another ticket. Somebody listening, saying to themselves that I hear them talking about God, I hear everything that they have said, and I have did everything that I believe God has asked me to do in my life still a mess. And I really want to speak to that person that feels like they have did everything that God has asked them to do, but their life seems to still be a mess.
Please do, because that came across my mind as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want them to get this revelation that their purpose is hidden inside their preparation.
Good.
That their purpose is hidden inside their preparation. Joseph's purpose was hidden inside his preparation. His brothers sold him. It just so happened that some travelers was coming. He went into an unfamiliar place, around unfamiliar people, unfamiliar language, but he was faithful. And this is the word for this person that's listening. Joseph remained faithful because his purpose was hidden inside how God was preparing him. Who would have thought that he would be second in command over Egypt? He was in prison. And when they sent you to prison then, there was no getting out. So he was in prison with no sight of coming out of there, but he was faithful. When I show a person, I try to show them, I'll show them a box of cake mix, and I say, what do you see? And they'll say, I see a box of cake mix. I say, well, I don't see a box of cake mix. I see a cake. I say, but it has to be prepared. And God is preparing you for an assignment, because your assignment is attached to your purpose, and your purpose is attached to your destiny. Don't give up on God. Remain faithful.
Go to mine.
Even when we are not faithful, it says God remains faithful. Stay faithful to God. I'm telling you that your purpose is hidden inside what you're going through right now.
That's a powerful word. That's a powerful word. And sometimes that our preparation time, we don't regard it. You know, I have a thing that I've been for a few years now, trying to keep it in my spirit, is that I love your making. The fact that we are fearful, wonderful, love making, love the instructions, love reproof, love all of that. You know, if God says, listen, I'm thinking about you, Jeremiah 29:11, and my thoughts toward you, they are peace and not evil, to give you a hope, hallelujah, and to give you a future. And so God is in me. He's going to tell us to think on me and to think about my future. The least thing I can do is submit myself to him, preparing me to be able to accept and embrace and walk in that future that is to be good for me. You know, I tell the church all the time at Unveiling Love Ministry, champions strength. And so they know. Champion, people are out having dinner and going to football games and basketball games and doing well, having all their leisure time and activities and stuff. The champion is in the gym. It was like if he's a boxer, he's in there, you know, sparring with somebody. You know, where are you gonna find him? Working out, showering, sleeping, eating right, working out, showering, sleeping, eating right, trying to get fit for that battle. And how often do we neglect to go to our word to get fit for the battle? Go get that training in the word, training, that disciplinary training, that word that The Bible tells us clearly in His Word, the entrance of God's Word bringeth light. How much time did we go to the lighthouse, the light place, so that we can dispel the darkness in our lives? And so that a champion would do that. They're going to go to the play. They're going to go and submit themselves to their coach. What did you call that guy? The trainer, and whatever that trainer's telling them to do, you know, jab here, jab there, do this, do that, all that kind of thing. You have to appreciate someone else telling you how to sharpen your skills. Because they're looking at you, they're looking at every swing you take, you know, uppercut, this and that. And they know your opponent and what your opponent's bringing to the table as well. And so God, the Holy Spirit, knows what the enemy has in store for us. He knows that. But we don't know. So that if we stay in the light, the Lord said, like you said, revelation is not revealed to everybody, but I do believe it is revealed to those who want to, who don't mind their making in God with the instruction. Go ahead. Someone wanted to break in and say something because I was getting on the road. Brother Richie, what'd you say?
No, I'm listening.
Amen. So I was just thinking about that. One thing that I shared with the congregation the last couple of weeks is I'm doing a series on contract killers. And, you know, when I think about the role of a spiritual man in his home, covering his home, guarding his home, protecting his home from the onslaught of the enemy, he's got to watch. He's got to be on the watch. He's got and so that because he doesn't have eyes, and as they say, in the back of his head, because he's learned to listen to the voice of God and listen to the Holy Spirit, he would not be caught unawares of what the enemy is trying to do. The Bible says the enemy will circle around us and try to find a place to get in. But a man who is who's a worshiper, who reverence God, who honors God, who listens to God, who studies His Word, who trusts Him, who obeys Him, who, like Richard said, who builds his faith up in God, that person is going to be so in tune to the Holy Spirit telling him, this is what's happening. This is what's getting ready to happen. This is how the enemy is going to try to come in. Because he'll try to come in through those that we love the most. So he's going to come in through our children. He's going to come in through our spouses. He's going to come in through our friends, our co-workers, our leaders. He doesn't care. He's no respect of us. That the enemy would try to come in and kill and destroy. But we are in with God, trusting God, faith God. We are standing up. We are in the leaders of the world. We are in the world. God to use us and to bless us. Our families will that the importance of man, a godly man being in our home. I'm not talking about how rich he is or how wealthy he is. I'm talking about him being there and trusting God, even if they are living month to month, week to week, like that. If he's strong on his family, loving his wife, loving his children, you know, trusting God, that state of being he is in, not going to be that way always, but he's going to always be God for holding that family together. His children hear him pray. His wife hear him, watch him humility and strength in them. All things. I can tell you from my own experience, I saw my grandfather do that. He was a teacher. He worked as a farmer and a highway guy. He worked hard all his life. I saw him trust God. And I'm telling you, none of those 14 kids, this testimony, no kids that lived across the street ever suffered. Hunger and all always knew that Randy knew and loved God. It was our
strength. Yeah, as for the bag. The block.
Amen. So I want to share that today. I believe it's on my heart that there's a worshiper. If I'm
yeah, call tonight for a charter.
Sorry. Worship your family. Okay. Uh-oh. Yeah, I want to share. I can hear you back.
Oh.
Okay. Brother Latino, you back?
Yeah, I kind of fell okay. off. I don't know how.
Okay. Sorry about that. You committed to your relationship with God. How bless and strengthen your family.
My phone, you breaking up. So I think my phone about to die, but I had an awesome time. I really did. I learned a lot about myself and nothing else.
Amen. Awesome. Anyone else?
The blessings of God are irreversible.
Mm-hmm.
Once God blesses you, you're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed. And you can't listen to anyone say anything other than that. I really want the people that are listening that it's not going to be your prayer that move God. It's going to be your act of obedience. Our prayers are our requests before the Lord. But the way we live, and that's something that we miss out a lot today. We don't hear much about lifestyle. But you got to live this life. You got to live what you preach about. You got to live what you're singing about. You have to live this life. And that's what Nelson was saying earlier at the beginning, that yes, there's going to be some sacrifice. Yes, there's going to be some tests. Yes, there's going to be some trials. Yes, there's going to be some challenges. Yes, there's going to be some attacks. Yes, you're going to face opposition. But you have to remain faithful to God. Don't never lose sight of God. Jesus says, have faith in God. In Matthew chapter 9, it was two blind men that followed Christ. Now just put that in your mind. You got blind men following Christ. Those of us who have sight can't even do that, some of us. But these blind men followed him, and Jesus asked them a question. He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, that's the kind of question I like coming from the Lord. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Those blind men said, yes, Lord, we believe that you are able to do this. Immediately they received their sight. What situation are you facing in your life? Jesus is asking you the question, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Heal your body, restore relationships, restore your marriage, bring wayward children home, come off alcohol, come off drugs. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do it? You got to answer that question. I cannot answer it for you. You got to answer that question yourself. Do you believe that he's able to give you a better job with better pay? Do you believe that he is able to do it? Then answer him. It's right there in Matthew chapter 9.
That's good. That's real good. Do you believe I'm able to do this? So a man who worships the Lord is a man who trusts and knows and faith that God can do just what he said, just what his word said he can do. Amen. I'm looking at that scripture for discussing this matter. Romans 1:2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies, as Latina said earlier, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Each of you, tell me what you think of that the Lord is saying in regard to that scripture. There. Present your offering bodies a living sacrifice. While Latino is thinking, Pastor Lonnie.
Dr. V, say that again, because you're kind of breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Let me pull this laptop around. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I read the scripture, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion on that as relationship to our topic tonight. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So when you think of that scripture in terms of our topic tonight, men manning up to strengthen the family, how do you think that that scripture can encourage us to do that?
Go ahead, Nelson.
And you gotta, in every battle that you gotta know what you're fighting for. You could put on a uniform and you know, and say the oath and carry the rifle, and then when it comes time to shoot, you lay it down because you don't know why you're fighting. It's like, you know, you're working in a place and they treat you bad, so you see something on the floor, a piece of garbage, so you walk by it. You don't care. This place is, I don't know why I'm doing this. But when you understand that you make that company, that the battle, what you're fighting for, you'll walk by that piece of paper and pick it up. You'll handle that rifle a lot differently when you're in battle because you realize, I'm in battle. I'm not on a playground. I'm at war. And because I'm at war, I have to be alert. I have to be intense. I have to be intentional. I have to have the integrity to continue. And no matter what happens around me, I have to help those who can't help themselves, but I cannot let them stop me from moving forward. If we know why we're fighting, then we know why we're living the life we're living. The problem with most men is they've gone to church. We treat them, they come and say, I'm addicted to pornography, and we tell them, okay, here's what you do. You get yourself an accountability partner, and whenever you feel the urge, you give them a call. Get yourself on this website that connects you to this other brother, so when you click the wrong thing, it alerts him that you clicked it. We treat them after the incident instead of saying, let me get you before it happens to get this desire out of you, because what you're telling me is wrong with you, it's just the symptoms. We got to get to the disease in you. Kill that. You won't have the symptoms anymore. But we manage the symptoms. It's almost like the hospitals now. They give you medicine just to manage what you got. They ain't trying to cure you. They're just trying to manage it for you. That's why there's a drugstore in every single corner of the neighborhood. They're managing your pain. I want my body to be a living sacrifice. I don't want it to be something that's just making it to tomorrow. I don't want to just make it. I want to walk like I am in battle and I'm winning the fight. That when I get up in the morning, I know where I'm going, what my orders are, and what I'm going to accomplish, and the accomplishment of it does not depend on me. It just depends on me making the right decisions, and then the power will force me through it. So we don't know why we're fighting. So we go out there, and we can't present our body a living sacrifice. We're presenting our body as something pleasurable for somebody to look at.
Mm.
Let me work out so somebody can look at me and say, look how good you look. Inside, you're dying. You go to the doctor for a cough. He says, you have cancer, but he don't tell you. He gives you cough medicine and says, you're doing fine, brother. Go home and take that cough medicine. You're going to have a good sleep tonight. And you take the medicine, and you know what? You feel a little better. You do sleep better that night because you're not coughing. Meanwhile, the cancer is inside you, eating you alive, and you don't know it. We don't know why we're fighting anymore. I know why I'm fighting. I'm not fighting for my family. I'm fighting for my king. He'll take care of my family. I have to take care of his battle. He says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. It's not that it's not heavy. His burden is to show light. Be the light in the world. Show the difference. You don't belong here. Stop acting like you do. Stop getting comfortable with this world like you're going to stay here. We all die. We all move on. When you move on, what are you leaving behind so your kids can follow you and meet you where you're going? Because the last thing I want is to get in heaven, start looking around when it's all over, and can't find none of my family because I wrecked it. I saved me, and everybody else went to hell. What are you fighting for? Get where you need to be. You're not on a playground. Time is running out. We need to take this serious. I don't care what I look like. What, does my character, does my integrity, do my words say things that make you say he's different for a better way? When I run up into a girl and she's got problems, do I size her up for me or do I size her up for the kingdom of God?
Jesus,
those
yeah.
are things we have to consider because that's what we think about. We're men. If you don't fight that battle, if you don't kill that one first, you're done. You're done. If that's the one thing that is killing most men. Your lust. Kill it. Kill it. Because it's like a snake. And I'll tell you the story, I'm done. The woman had a snake. Beautiful snake. Long, big snake. Used to sleep with the snake. The snake would curl around her arms and she was watching TV. Beautiful snake. She had the snake for a year, and she noticed after she had it for 2 months, the snake stopped eating. So she took the snake to the doctor. She said, doctor, I'm trying to find out what's wrong with my snake. He hasn't eaten in 8 months. He says, well, I'll do some tests. I'll find out. So he takes some tests, and then he calls her back in. He says, listen, I can tell you what's wrong with your snake. And she says, what's wrong with it? Your snake is starving itself. Why is it starving itself? He's starving himself to eat you. We put you thin like it's our friend. It's going to eat us alive, and we're playing with it. We keep it around. We click on the TV and play with it. We turn on music. We know it's not glorifying God, and it's seeping nonsense into us, and we're petting it like it's a pet, like it's something that means us good. It means us harm. It wants you dead, and it wants to kill your family around you, and you open the door, turn on the TV, and click the radio station and let it in. And then you wonder where your problems come from. God said, be holy, because I'm holy. He said it twice. He said it in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament. Holy be ye, because holy am I. It don't sound right, but that's what he said. If you want to be powerful, get the stuff out of your life that is crippling you. And I'm... I get emotional. I don't know if you noticed or not. But I get
emotional. We didn't notice that.
And I'm gonna lay down now. I've gone beyond where I should have gone.
You preaching? I love it.
I hope you hear the passion in my heart. I'm not trying to cut you down because Richard has taught me a long time ago that we don't injure our brethren, and we don't leave them in the field to die. We pick them up, show them how to be stronger, and if maybe sit there with them for a minute and say, can you make it? If they're willing to fight and they don't have the ability, then I'm standing there with them. Now, if they don't want to fight, I can't help them. But if they want to fight, I can't leave them behind. We leave no one behind. bury our injured men. We're the only army that bury our injured. We need to help them get with it going. Because you don't know if the person you're burying today is the person that's going to give the gospel to your daughter tomorrow. And because you kill them now, you kill your own child. We're not going to witness to everybody, but the people that we come across that we help, somewhere down the line, God makes that ricochet right back into us. I'm going to leave it right there.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. We had someone else to join us from area code 757-727-3990. That's your number. Would you like to have comment? We're down in the last 4 minutes of our broadcast, but we do want to hear from you. Okay, if you just want to listen, that's fine. Okay, listen, it's been awesome. In the last 3 minutes of our show, I just want to let you know that if you want to hear more from these men of God, Pastor A2J and Minister Richard Pickett, they're going to be at Unfailing Love Ministries on October the 1st, Saturday at 6 p.m. That location is 214 Cowarden Avenue, South Richmond, right off the river. That's there in the RCC complex. We're so excited to have you as our special guest as we celebrate seven Sabbaths before our anniversary. We are 1 year old as a church. God is blessing us. We have a few families there, and they are on fire for God, and God is working and growing in us, and we're excited about that. You enter the love zone when you enter Unfailing Love Ministries, where you meet the intent, which is the spirit of love, intensity, the spirit of increase, integrity, the spirit of truth, where we expect that each of us will experience God, express God through our lives, and emerge being not only the disciples, but evangelists for his loving message and his love. So we invite you to be a part of us whenever you're in the city or near. Thank you, Pastor Latino ATJ. Thank you, Minister Richard and Pastor Lonnie and Minister Gould, for being a part of our broadcast and our special guest that just joined lately. It's been awesome. You've been tuned in to Dr. V with Love, my new season of broadcast, each Monday night at 8 p.m. until the Lord say something different that's there. But we want to, let's just have Pastor Lonnie close us out tonight, if he will. And again, thank you. If you're listening live or if you're going to listen archive, listen as often as you like and share it with someone else. We do believe that God spoke through these men of God tonight, all of us, and that word is to strengthen you in your family, strengthen you in your relationship with God, so that you might be able to strengthen your families as they see God working out in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we love you right now. We love you more than we did an hour and a half ago, because you have enriched our minds and our spirits with your spirit, Lord God. Thank you so much for the word that you have imparted into the gentleman that spoke mostly. And we just agree, as we used to all say amen, that you are the one. You are the only
amen.
One, the living God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Love you so much, guys. Thank you so much for being a part.
Thank you. Love you, Dr. V.
Later.
Love you. Yeah, there were five people online live.